I believe that music has the power to resonate in people's ears and minds, to break chains, break oppression. And I believe that music is only second to the word of God in the way it can connect to people. It breaks through everything. The message of music and the way people vibe and feel music, I believe that it has the power to resonate in people's ears and minds in a way that only the word of God has. Music breaks chains in people's minds.
Within 3 years of release, two out of three ex-offenders are rearrested. Clearly, something is broken. It's time we strategize ways to prevent repeat offenses. Our brainstorming session starts now. Welcome to A Prisoner's Pardon. Hello, everyone, and welcome to A Prisoner's Pardon podcast. This is Michi J, and today we have a special guest. His name is Eric Cohen, okay? He is a Christian rapper. Yes, I do host Christian rappers. I love them because they have the same message as any other preacher in the ministry of God. And Eric has a great message. And I want him to introduce himself because he's going to tell us how he got into doing music and just a little bit more about himself. And we're going to actually do some visuals this time. Yes, I'm going to be on YouTube showing these great videos that he has. Hi, Eric. How you doing?
Hey, Miss Michelle, I'm doing great. It's a blessing to be here with you, young lady.
Okay. Thank you so much. Tell my audience how you got into music and just your background. He has an incredible story, guys. So listen up to what he has to say.
So I was born in 1902. No, just kidding. Wrong what? Story. You hold on. Not. Hold on. No, I'll start off with the music part. So around 3.5 years ago, I was at an all-time low in my life. I had actually just gotten baptized, which was really cool, in the name of Jesus. You know, I just got baptized, but you know, when you do something good, the enemy's always right on your heels trying to take you down. Yes. And, you know, I was no different. He caught me right when I came up out of the water, and I ended up making a mistake, acting out on my flesh. Mm-hmm. And I felt such a weight inside of me that I had never felt before, which I now know is the Holy Spirit convicting me, that I had to come tell my wife what I had done. Mm-hmm. And that was probably one of the hardest things I ever had to do, because I told her, you know, and she crumbled. She fell apart with the information I just told her. And it was really hard to watch, you know. But by the end of it, you know, she kicked my butt out of the house for about 3 weeks. And I ended up sleeping in my truck for around two of those 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And one day I was at the end of the cul-de-sac, just kind of chilling out. It was morning time. And I was contemplating suicide. I was about to eat a bullet. I didn't know what else to do. You know, I was just miserable. And I had just given my life to Christ. And of course, one of the worst things that's ever happened to me happened. You know, so I was just about to be done with it. And a beat came on my radio, on my YouTube. I was actually writing a poem. I love poetry. Always liked Edgar Allan Poe, Robert Frost, Emily Dickinson, for some name drops. You know, that good poetry.
Good people. Good yeah. people. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I was writing some poetry this morning, and a beat came on my radio, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, like audibly spoke to me. He said, I want you to rap this. I'm like, you know, because I never had this gift, and here I am, a 35-year-old white guy. He's like, yeah, I want you, Eric Cohen, I want you to rap this. And, you know, I was obedient with hesitation, but by the end of that experience, I had goosebumps all over my body. I was crying like a little girl, and the only words I could utter out of my mouth over and over again were, thank you, Lord, because I knew this was a gift from him. Mm-hmm. And it was on that day, as soon as I received that gift, I made a vow to the Lord that I would only use it for his glory. You know, what he's imparted upon me is a weapon of warfare, and it's a way to break chains, break oppression. And I believe that music is only second to the word of God in the way it can connect to people. The word of God, it breaks through everything. And music ain't much different. With the message of music and the way people vibe and feel music, I believe that it has the power to resonate in people's ears and minds in a way that only the word of God has.
Yes, the word of God does break chains. And it sounds like, you know, I like how you pointed out, because some people think after you get baptized, after you come to the Lord, that you just don't have any problems. With you admitting that's when you should be on standby, right? You are the target at that point. The enemy is not looking for the ones he already have, you know. He's trying to get us. He
That's
wants
right.
us to change to his program. But you are listening to God. I hope my audience understands that at this point, that's when you're more receptive, when you're broken down like this. And I'm glad you didn't eat this bullet or but took a bullet for God and ate that instead and, you know, got that conviction. So tell me more. What else happened after that?
So after that, not too long after that, I came back to my house and my wife showed me a lot of grace and mercy and forgave me for what I had done. Now there's still a lot of healing to do in our relationship, and that may never change, but God has given me an opportunity to serve my wife and my family like I never knew before. So even in the midst of the darkness and the things that I had done, God was still good enough to show me grace even through my wife. Like I said, that day I vowed to use this for the Lord, and that's what I've been doing ever since. So the last 3.5 years have been crazy, Miss Michelle. The Lord spoke to me and said he was going to use me in a mighty way, and he's been doing so. I've been going to juvenile detention ministry every Wednesday night and getting to talk to the young ladies and young men over there. I do online performances, live performances, all with the motive to preach the gospel message. And that's what I love about being a Christian artist, because there's always a purpose to what I do, and it's not to glorify self, but to glorify God. So it's quite amazing.
Oh, wow. So I want to go back a little bit because I believe you touched on, even though you didn't say the word, it was about forgiveness. You got some forgiveness from your wife, from God, and that is very healing. And we all need forgiveness. And I'm so glad that you are starting to go through this process because forgiveness is a process. And a lot of times, the hardest people to forgive is ourselves.
You said it right.
So it was hard. You found that hard to do, even though, you know, as you were going through the process, I want to talk a little bit about that just because it's so important that people understand about forgiveness. And that's part of what the show is about. It's about a pardon that's similar to forgiveness. So are you still walking through that process? Or, and I like how you gave everything over to God and you realize that what you're doing is to glorify Him. And do you think that helped with your process of forgiving yourself?
Yeah, I absolutely do. Let me be very transparent and clear here. I have hated myself most of my life.
Wow, okay, good.
I grew up in poverty, neglect, addiction, all these different things that tried to take me out. And I lived on the fringes of society. I was an outcast. I'd like to say it was in my own mind, but it was in the world. So I never fit in, and I hated myself. I hated who I was, from the labels that I had acquired during my time interacting in the world. But like you said, that self-forgiveness, when we are able to look at ourselves in the mirror and actually like the person we see, it's a whole different ball game. And I have to process this forgiveness daily, because there's still those thoughts in my mind that pop up like, you're worthless, you're nothing. But that's when I have to make a choice to stand on God's truth. And it's not always an easy choice, Miss Michelle. Let me be honest about that. Sometimes it's the hardest decision I have to make in a day, to believe what God says about me instead of what my mind's trying to tell me. But the mind is in the battlefield, young lady. Let me tell you
Oh, don't you start preaching on here. You know I'm holding
that.
my hands up now. I'm trying to
Hey.
get happy over here. And you are speaking nothing but truth. It just facts. And oh, that cleansing. I can feel and I can sense that depth that you have in you to that truth. And so many of us, and I'm pretty sure you're not alone, there's someone listening that hate themselves. They're listening to the enemy out there giving them labels, but the labels you should take is only from God, because he knows you more than anybody else and better than you know yourself, because God has so much for you that you didn't know you can do. And you're going through this process with him, he will blow you away all the time. So yeah, just tell me more. Like, you came out, you're still working through this daily. I like how you said daily. It's daily, it's not over with. So as you're going through this process of this art, because God is the master and you're just a piece, okay? So he's creating this masterpiece in you, right? So you starting to spit this poetry out. He's telling you to do something like you haven't tried. You probably never even thought about it. It's like, you said you this white boy and he's telling you to rap. What? Do what?
You know, I grew up to the tunes of classic rock, Delta Blues. Blues, you know, definitely some rap in there, but it definitely wasn't the kind of glorified Jesus either.
Exactly.
You know, I'm a 90s baby. I grew up on Tupac, Biggie Smalls, Big Pun, and Bone Thugs, you know. That was my influence as a child, you know. But to have this gift, like I said, that's how I knew it was an anointing and blessing from him, and I could give him all glory. And he did that for a reason, I believe, you know, so I would understand and I would be humble about what he's given me.
And it's just, I just want to point out to the audience too, like, it's that when we think we're nothing, when we're broken down, that's when God can really use us. And you allow him to use you, and just, he's building you back up. First, he got to break you down. And so that now he can mold you into what he wants you to be to glorify him. And so, okay, so now you this rapper now. What did you do? What was the first thing you did? Like, God wants you to do this. What did he tell you, or how did you start rapping?
So, you know, it took a lot of faith to step out and actually start rapping, because I am not, like I said, I didn't see myself as the person God saw me in the mirror. And so to step out in front of a stage, something I had never done, or to step out in front of people and share this gift, was probably one of the hardest things I had ever had to do. It's getting easier each time I do it, you know, and, you know, dozens and dozens of shows later, I'm finally getting comfortable in my own skin and stepping out and actually being able to let the Holy Spirit work instead of standing in the way. But that is not the way it was. You know, I started off with a lot of hesitation, but let me tell you that God indwelled me with the Holy Spirit in such a way that I didn't have a choice but to move forward. And the first thing I did, I think, was talk to my mama. Her name's Letitia Cheatham, an amazing woman of God. Now, she ain't my real mama. She my spiritual mama. I met her at church, but she was the one. You know, I would have these visions and I would have these doubts in my mind sometimes. And she was the one that spoke God's truth to me in such a loving but unfiltered way. And I think we all need somebody like that in our lives. Somebody ain't willing to sugarcoat it, tell you exactly what's what, and tell you to get your head out of your butt sometimes. That's what I needed. So,
wow, that's good. A spiritual guide, someone, you know, that's what, you know, you said exactly what they need to hear, because once you're out there and you're now, you're working for the Lord, you have to have wisdom. You have to have a person that's been there that can talk truth to you, because the enemy is going to just be at you. He's going to be all up in your head. And especially because right now you're like a babe, you're in baby Christ.
Yeah.
So you're not fully processing what you're going through and what God is doing with you, for you. And so he sent Miss Letitia to you. And now you're starting to feel comfortable. Are you still working on it? Or are you there yet, for is, okay, God has me doing this, and now I'm starting to walk in it really and getting more comfortable and comfortable. I'm listening to your music. It's like, you sure you was uncomfortable doing this? And you look like you were made for it.
And won't God do it, Miss Michelle? That's exactly what he does. He takes people that are broken and and considered useless in the world, and he'll do something amazing in them and through them. And yes, to answer your question, I do feel a lot more comfortable doing what I'm doing now. I think I have fully accepted what God has told me and what God has said about me, and I've accepted that as the truth of my life. And so there's no backing down at this point. I'm gonna go hard for my God, through hip hop, through preaching, through evangelism, any way I can to get that word out there, because I know the grips of oppression and darkness, you know, and I also know the freedom and light of Jesus. He says his bond is light. He says, take my yoke upon your neck because my bond's light. Trust me, I know that other bond, and I'm sure many other people who may listen to this podcast know that yoke of oppression and the weight of darkness as well. Well, I'm here to tell you that if you accept that light yoke, he's going to do something amazing in your life. Maybe it won't be rap, but maybe it will be evangelizing to whoever you meet. And that's just as important. We are all in the same position as the body of Christ. Ain't nobody higher than the next. In fact, it says the humble should be exalted and the exalted should be humble. So Lord, let me be humble. Hey, the first gonna
Whoa.
be last, last gonna be first, young lady.
No, start again. I'm trying to keep this show. I'm trying to like, okay, you elevate me. I'm like getting happy over here. I gotta stop. Okay. Yeah, so I like how you say, and I'm sure everybody, if myself, I've gone through it. When you start to step out in what God has for you, you have to trust the Holy Spirit because you don't feel comfortable in that skin yet. You're saying you didn't see yourself that way. And it was the hardest thing. And I'm going through some things too where it's like, you know, really? And I believe God loves us to be amazed by him. And he is amazing. When you allow him and you step out there, you did it. So you were, you know, you like polar opposites what we would look at first as a rapper. And I'm seeing your video and like, he's doing it and he's good. And thank you for being obedient. And we have to learn how to be obedient and listen to God and walk this the way he says, because it's not going to be comfortable at first. We got to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. And we at times feel inadequate for what God has said. Did you feel that inadequacy? Like, what?
Hey, I feel that every day, to be honest with you. I feel inadequate, but that's where I know that God keeps me humble. You know, he keeps me in this
Good
position
point.
to where I'm looking up all the time and I can give him all glory. So he keeps me, I feel like he keeps me in this position to where I feel inadequate, so I know how much I need him and I grab onto him on a daily basis.
Wow, you are preaching. You know you're preaching. I know someone is hearing this, not just me, and I'm getting so much word and feeling from this. So we feel inadequate. God has something planned for us way more than we think and can imagine. And how do we not run away from it? I know people, am I the only one? Is you talking to just me? Don't run away, right? Eric, what do you say? What did you do? Like you walked through the process and you just, it is hard because it's not comfortable.
It's true, you know, and it just reminds me of the story of Jonah in the Bible. You know, hey, that dude ran hard, even
Okay.
jumped into the bottom of the ocean saying, I'm done,
Don't we run?
Lord.
Don't we run?
Yes, we do. We run, you know, and that's okay in a sense to run, but God's still going to use you. He's going to turn you right back around and put you right where he wanted you to begin with, you know, and I think that's the beauty of it, you know, and if you choose not to use your gifts, if you choose to bury your talents, you know, what do you end up with at the end of your life? Knowing that you could have done something, knowing that you could have put faith in God and stepped out to what he was telling you to do. How do you account for that when you meet him face to face at that great white throne? You know, I want to make sure he, when I hit them gates, I want to hear, well
Well
done,
done,
good and
and
faithful
faithful
servant.
servant.
I don't want to hear, I don't know your name. Who are you, bro? Get away from me.
That's the worst thing. I don't want to hear that, nor do I want to hear, oh, I had this for you and that for you, and you ran away. I had this plan for you. If you would have followed me, this is what you would have had. You know, it kind of reminds me of that movie, It's a Wonderful Life, and, you know, you get to see what it could have been like. Would that, like, upset you that you wasted it? And you are stepping out. This is for someone. This is not just for me. You're going to feel inadequate. First, you're going to be broken. He's going to be able to use you then. You're not going to feel comfortable at all. You're going to want to run away. And you're going to sweat it. I'm going to do this anyway because I got to believe what he says about me. And look at you now. Look at you now, Eric.
Amen. I'll tell you what, Miss Michelle, he gives us a choice, don't he? You know,
yes.
We have this free will, and it's quite amazing. So we have an opportunity to step toward him in faith and trust that he is our maker, creator, and savior. Or we can step away back into the world and do the things of the world. But you and I both know which one is more fulfilling at the end of the day. And I would much rather follow Christ with all my heart, even if there comes adversity, even if there comes suffering in the name of Jesus. You know, I would much rather be following him than anything the world has to offer me, because I know that stuff's bunk.
And let me tell, maybe it's not a secret, not to you, but let me tell the audience, it gets better all the time. It's not, this is the best. It's going to keep getting better.
Amen.
Each time you step out and you start doing it, it's going to get better and better. Whereas the world, you didn't have the best. It's downhill for now.
Come on.
And it's quick. It's a happy hour or whatever. But this is like eternity, everlasting. And it's like fine wine. It's just getting better and better and better. And you can't get enough of it. That's a flip side. That's a switch from the world's point when you start following Christ, stepping out. So this is what you got to look forward to. We already got heaven, but now we're when you're starting to be obedient. And don't think, look where you said you was at your lowest, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
You was contemplating suicide.
Right on the edge. Yes,
right
ma'am.
On the edge. So no matter what your background is, if you've been locked up or not, you know, some people have these spiritual prisons as well. They don't understand that you actually start there before you go to a physical one, if you
Come
hit
on.
That spot. So, you know, what are you telling your juveniles? You say you speak to the juveniles. What do you, you know, when you share your story, I like that you share your story and you're not sugarcoating it. You're being raw and you're not being like the world on social media. Oh, I got it all together. And then you find out later that these people are in a really bad spot condition because they got this one face. And what you're doing is the opposite. What we're doing is the opposite. And we're saying, no, we don't have anything. We were broken. But look at us now. Now you're living and they've suicided out, you know.
Yeah.
It's a different switch. So what do you tell the young people?
You know what? I believe, just as I am on this show, I believe in full transparency, Miss Michelle. And so when I go into the juvenile detention center to talk to these young men and women, I'm completely open. I'll answer any questions they may have. But there's the glory to my story, and it always ends with Jesus, you know, because I let them know, yes, I've been through addiction. I've been through poverty, neglect. I've been in the same place as they were in, you know. I have been miserable. Most of my life, I spent it in misery. But I have a savior. His name is Jesus, and he rescued me from the very depths of hell. And trust me, if he's willing to use somebody like me, he's willing to use y'all too. You know, and some of these kids ain't never had love. They ain't never had hope. They grew up with a hard life. You know, some of these kids that are sitting in these places, they are wards of the state. Their parents done gave them away.
Wow.
So they don't have anybody, you know, so I might be the only person that shows them love walking into that place for the next 6 months, or maybe ever. Maybe I'm the one that plants a seed for Jesus in them. So, you know, I just try to be completely open and honest about what I've done, where I've been, and where I'm headed. You know, and the fruits speak for themselves. You know, there's no hiding actionable faith. And so as I show up each week and I walk into this place and they see my silly face every week, you know, they see me and they're like, okay, well, this is Eric Cohen. And guess what? They're asking to get discipled when they get out. They're asking for mentorship. And that's exactly what I want. You know, I want to reach this generation and let them know who Jesus is, because the world's fading away. We ain't got long left in this place, young lady. I'll tell you that.
Ooh, don't you start.
Come on.
Don't you
It's
start.
true.
It is true. We see, we're not trying to save the world because we understand the world is destined to go down. It's like we're trying to get them on the ark, so to
Yeah.
speak. Rescue the ones who wants to be rescued and let them know that there is an ark of safety for them, and it's in Jesus Christ. And wow, this is a great message. And I'm glad that you're going into these facilities and pointing out that people are not loved. They don't know what love is and they haven't been shown love. And you're bringing that hope. And they're probably thinking, he's always been this way. Look at him. You don't look like you've been through the fire and you don't even smell like smoke.
Won't he
And
do it?
that's how the Lord cleans you up. And you got this joy about you radiating. And they're picking
Amen.
up on this. And I feel like they can talk to you. Not somebody that, oh, they have it all together and you really can't relate. You telling them, no, this is where I was. You can leave here actually now, even though you're still physically there.
That's it. You know, you look at inspirations like Corrie Ten Boom, the young lady that found Jesus in a Holocaust, in the middle of a concentration camp. She found Jesus and held on with all her life and survived. You know, we speak about finding joy in the midst of every situation, and it's possible. You know, you can look back through history or look currently. I bet you know five people right now that may have the most horrible situations happen in their life, but guess what? They still full of joy. My brother, he just lost his mama. But guess what? That young man's so full of joy you couldn't even tell, 'cause he know mama done went to heaven.
So it does not, again, it does not depend on circumstances, outside circumstances. It's like, and that is peculiar. That is different. And if we can get people to understand that, to know to be in Christ, that's what that means. And then look at you, you're a new creature.
Amen.
You weren't rapping. You definitely
No.
weren't in no facility talking to juveniles about what Christ can do. It's for he's available. He has his hand out. He's beckoning us, beckoning them.
That's it. You know, all we got to do is reach out and take that step off the boat. No different than Brother Peter did way back in the day, walking on the water.
Come on now. Come on now. You speaking it. I like this because you're speaking the gospel and you're putting it in words that people can understand and relate to, because now it's not just theory. I like the term you said, actionable faith. Actionable faith. You're putting it's faith in motion. And as you walk out, you steady. God is exposing more and more. It's getting better. And what else do you talk to about to the juvenile? So, have you had any come out where you had to mentor them yet, or anything like that?
So I have had the opportunity to speak to two young men on the outside. Now, one of them actually ended up back in a juvenile detention facility. So, you know, it comes with understanding that even though we're planting a seed, that same seed may not grow up right in front of you, and we may never see the fruit on this side of heaven. You know, we may never see it on earth. We may never see the fruit of what we did on earth. But you know, we just have to be faithful in continuing to do what God's called us to do, and knowing that it has purpose, know that it has reason. You know, I think that's the most important thing, that we don't lose hope and we don't lose faith in the fact that God's working through us and in us, because you know, sometimes we can get worn down, you know, and you know, it's in those times, just no different than the Hebrews had to do in the desert, you know. They was looking back when they should have been looking forward. Don't recall the past. Don't recall them things that you think you long for in your flesh, because they ain't doing you no good. You know, you look forward. You look forward to that that manna that falls from heaven that feeds us.
So I was just thinking what you just said. We don't recall that past, but look forward. Is that why one can feel inadequate if they're looking the wrong way?
Hey, it'll turn you into a whole pile of salt. You look the wrong
Oh,
way too
don't you go
long.
there. Don't you go there. Wow, good point. So that's how you would feel inadequate, and you have to look forward. Maybe, hey, you're speaking to me now. You're speaking to me. So it's the show is called A Prisoner's Pardon, and you can be in a spiritual prison and not wanting to look forward and walk out in faith. That's a, isn't that prison?
Yes, it
So,
is.
wow. Don't recall the past, but to look forward. And God has so much planned for you, possibilities. And you, did you imagine all the stuff that God has let you do to this at the to this point right here?
Look, lady, I still can't believe it sometimes. I really can't. You know, I go back and I listen to my songs, or I'll listen to a beat and these words will just come to me, or I listen to the words that the Holy Spirit indwelled in me to write down, and I still feel disbelief. I'm like, Lord, this didn't come from me. You know, it's hard for me to see myself as who Lord has made me to be. So that's where I go back to that constant daily reminder and giving myself up to him, forgiving myself and understanding his truth about me.
Forgiving myself, forgiving yourself, because that is a daily thing, and that's what's hindering you from accepting what God has for you and who you really are.
Yeah.
And you said you still can't believe it.
I'm still in awe, and I think that's what the Lord wants. You know, he says, fear me, and that fear don't mean be scared and go run in the corner and hide, but that means that the fear of the Lord should leave you in awe. You know, it should leave your jaw dropped, and that's what the Lord does. When he starts working in you and on you, he does leave your jaw dropped. You ain't got no choice but to go pick your jaw up off the ground, because he's gonna do something amazing.
I mean, that's the word amazing. He is amazing. And just to hear you, your confirmation on it, when you won't be disappointed when you trust him and step out. You don't know how he did it. You still be scratching your head. How did he get you over here? And it's gonna be some. You couldn't have made this up. How did all that align? How did that connect there? How did you meet that person? How did if you were there right on time? They happened to be right. There is no accident. It's
No.
no accident. So I want people to understand what you're saying here. So you can't go on your feelings, your
No.
emotions. Cause you're not there yet. You can't even, you said you don't even, you still can't believe it. So you already over here, let alone when you were back there to try and believe it. And you still over here can't believe it. And you done went through it.
Yeah, amen. That's right. That's right. You know, and that's why I have no choice but to step out in faith on a daily basis, because if I were to go on my own feelings, what I thought about myself, the inadequacies that I feel, I'd still be stuck in a bubble, burying my talent in the ground, you know, and then the Lord be like, hey, wicked servant, you know, and that's not what I want. You know, I want to make sure I am multiplying what, 5 times, 10 times, 2 times, whatever he gives me, and I'm gonna make it make sense and make money for the Lord, and not money like we see it, but that eternal treasure.
Yeah, where you sending yours up where it won't be destroyed, you know.
Right.
And I like how you pointed out wicked servant. And most people would think like you did something really bad, we call wicked. All it is that you didn't believe him and step out.
Come
That's
on.
wicked. You calling him a liar, right?
Come on. Hey, amen.
You calling him a liar, like, hey, he's what did he say? Taste me and see.
Hey, amen. Taste me and see. Ain't that the truth? And what you
I'm
taste,
good.
yeah, hey, he's almighty and all good.
Wow, I feel like stomping my feet right here. But yeah, I like that. And how I wanted to talk about too. So what is it with your family? Did you What's going on there? I know you're married, but do you have any siblings? Is there any other potential rappers that's coming out of your family? Or you just like a phenomenon? And
So my daughter has taken quite an interest in the music, which is amazing. You know, in fact, I'm working on a song with her called At Last. And
Wow.
if you don't mind, I'm gonna read you her part.
Go ahead.
Is that okay?
Sure,
Okay.
go.
Give me 1 second. Play the theme music for Jeopardy. Da na
No.
na na. So her part goes, and she's just gotta memorize it to say it, but she goes, "He used to serve the devil, now it's me and him together. My daddy is a shield, we'll walk with God forever, forever, forever. Chasing God together, we'll walk with God forever, we'll walk with God forever." You know, and this was from her thoughts. I helped her make it make sense for a rap song, you know, as far as a hook goes, but this was her thoughts. You know, she sees me as a shield protecting her from the whims of the evil one, you know, because he's lurking everywhere, especially in the family, trying to destroy us. But she has definitely taken kind to music. She loves music. So I'm praying that she'll be able to use that anointing for the glory of God as well. And as far as my siblings, I do have one sister and my father, but that's actually I'm actually from a Jewish family. And
Really?
so everything I'm doing, yeah, I'm a Cohen. So biblically, Cohen means priest. It's in the first two chapters of the Bible. I think it's
Wow,
in
okay.
Exodus. Yeah, Kohanim or Cohen means priest, which I thought was amazing.
It is
But
amazing.
right, like he done made me a ruler and a priest according to my name, Eric Cohen.
Okay.
So I'm like, all
That
right, Lord,
name
that's
means something. Okay.
hey, amen. It does, just like it did biblically. But with that being said, you know, there's a lot of feedback from that side of the family because I'm chasing Jesus. I'm chasing the Messiah that they don't believe in, you know. So I get a little bit of feedback or a little bit of gruff from that, you know. And my dad's going through some hard times right now. I keep trying to point him toward the Messiah, but he lacks understanding right now, and that's okay,
That's
you know,
okay.
because when the Lord's ready to show him, he's gonna show him all the way, and
Oh,
ain't no doubt.
look at you. You further amaze me. You Jewish on top of it, and you right. Oh my goodness. That's you know what? Our God is amazing, you know,
Yes.
what he can do. And I love this about this healing and forgiveness. I love how you're discipling your daughter. And that she came up with the words, the hook, and how I just know God can hook. He's already hooked us, you know. Fishermen, we fishing. And God has the perfect hook. You know, we talk about the music, the hook, you know, that good hook, but God has the best hook. You know,
Amen.
we just trying to catch up to him. And he uses music. And I know some people may look at Christian rap and they may say certain things. Did you get any of that flack? Because I saw your stuff on Facebook and you was at church. And I was like, I was looking at the audience, but I couldn't see the audience while you were performing. I wanted to see them too. Like, what was their reactions to you? Because I would never think that they would listen to rap at all. So I may need to go back and look at it, but I was like, Okay, I don't think she listened to rap. I don't think he listened to rap, but you were like going at it. You was like, you did not look nervous. You looked like you've been doing this a long time. And it was in a setting that you would normally not see the rap, like in the church, like where the choir would perform, someone come and sing a slow low selection, and hear you up there spitting the word out in rap. So what were they thinking? What were their reactions to, what were the reactions to your song?
So that particular instance, it was absolutely amazing. I actually got invited by my pastor, Pastor Clint. What an amazing man of God he is. He's a true leader. And you know how I know that? Because he serves with all his heart. He's
Servant.
unlike so many other pastors I've met. Like, that man of God is amazing. But he hit me up on Thursday or Friday before the service. He says, "Hey, bro, you want to come do On the Edge," which is the song I did, On the Edge, and it speaks of suicide and the darkness of life, but who we can call out to. But you're right. Most of the people in that audience, and in fact, in a lot of audiences I go to, may not be privy to hip hop. But that's the thing about mixing it with the word of God, because the word of God never comes back void. So they're always going to get a message out of what I'm spitting, because it's always going to be God's word. And so even with that being said, I've had 70 or 80 year old men and women come up to me and talking about, "I don't listen to hip hop, I don't listen to rap, but I like what you're doing," because they hear the fruit in the message. There's no denying fruit. He says we know each other by the fruit. And so there's no denying what's coming out of the music, whether it's real or false. We're gonna know. And so I think that that is able to supersede whatever feelings people may have about the genre of hip hop. But I've also been hit on the opposite end, where I've been told that hip hop doesn't belong in the Christian community, or rock and roll for that matter, but won't the Lord use anything for his good? He can take the worst of things and use it for his glory. He has no limit, no bounds, and he ain't in no box. I promise you that.
I definitely, I keep remembering that mule, the mule, when he used
Come
that
on.
mule to talk. He could use animals and open up their mouths to you. So that was amazing. I'm going to make sure I have one of your videos playing, because I want them to see you, because you look like you've been doing this a long time. I love whoever produced your videos. I think they did an awesome job, and your acting and the way you, it just looks like you've just been doing it a long time. And you've been doing it how long?
Just a little over 3.5 years now. Right in the midst of COVID is when I inherited this amazing gift and anointing.
I like how you say that. It is a gift, and I think we all have a gift of some sort, but if we have to listen to God and listen to your story. I'm sure you are getting hooks, hooking other people and letting them know that it's God working through you and that they can do the same thing. I love what your shirt was, says grace.
Hey,
Grace, I can't say
grace
that.
over
Grace,
grace.
oh, lovely. That is awesome. You got merch and stuff too. So is that part of your merch?
No, this is actually from a brother of mine. His name's Robert, and he's part of the New Tribe crew that I represent. It's my label mate. So I would be more than happy to share his information with anybody who wants a grace over grace hoodie. And I do also have merch. I have shirts. But I need to order some more, which costs money that I don't have yet. So I'm gonna have to work on that.
God is amazing. He's heard that, and I'll definitely be praying for you for that. So, what else would you like to say to our audience before we end this great interview? Because I'm going to make sure I play your video at the end so that people can see you. I'll definitely put everything in the show notes, how to contact you if people want to have you on their show. If they're having, I'm pretty sure you're taking bookings if people want to have you out to perform for them. And Like, where are you located out of?
Hey, I'm in. I hate to talk smack on any other city, but I'm in the best city in the world, which is Kansas City, Missouri.
Uh-oh. All right. Okay, I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at you. So they can contact you if they want to have you on their network, or if they having any kind of festivals. You go to Christian festivals, I'm sure, and just do your performances. Are you open to coming to other facilities like detention centers, talking to juveniles, different places, stuff like that? And probably, I'm hoping people more open a door for you, for the young people, because rap is a tool that can be used for getting good messages in. And I think, like what you said, there's no denying the fruit. That is amazing what you said. So they have to look at it that way and don't look at, okay, you're trying to put God in a box.
That's a mistake, ain't it?
How can you put him? He is not, he didn't, he just was in that tent that time for our purpose when he was traveling. He
Hey.
wasn't, that's not his house,
Hey, man.
So anyway, that's what all I have. And what's the last thing you want to say to the audience before we end the show?
You know, Miss Michelle, the only thing I really want to tell everybody who's listening is, you may have experienced adversity. You may be stuck in adversity and suffering in darkness right now. But I'm here to tell you that God will and can pull you out of that darkness, and he will use you for his glory. And there's no wonder that you're stuck in darkness right now. The enemy wants to take you out.
Yes,
That's
he
the
do.
truth of it. The enemy wants to take us all out, and he's going to do anything he can to destroy you, to stop you from stepping in to the role that God has for you. So don't believe the lies of the world. Don't be stuck in that darkness anymore. Reach your hand out in faith and understand that we have an amazing God, and he may not take away the afflictions. I'm still afflicted in many ways. But I'll tell you what, the Lord walks with me through every one of them. And he tells me his grace and his mercy is sufficient for me. And I believe that wholeheartedly because I've experienced it.
Oh, awesome. Awesome testimony. And again, I hope everyone in the audience gets this great, amazing message from our God using Eric Cohen as a vessel. Remember, I'll have all this information in the show notes, and I will be playing a video after this. Thank you again, Eric, for being on my show.
Yes, ma'am, and thank you for having me.
God bless.
God bless.
Everyone, thank you for listening, and may you have a week filled with blessings.
Thanks for tuning in to the show. For more information on our guests and resources, visit prisonerspardon.com. If you're enjoying the content, follow, like, and subscribe to this podcast. Also, please be sure to leave a rating and review. Until next time, God bless.